This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Tuesday. A manhunt is underway this morning for a homicide suspect believed to be armed and dangerous in the Gypsum area. Just after 4 a.m., Vail Public Safety Communications issued a lookout for the suspect, who is reported to be traveling in the area and possibly accompanied by hostages. An Eagle County deputy later spotted a matching vehicle traveling westbound on I-70 and attempted a traffic stop. When the driver failed to stop, deputies deployed a spike strip near mile marker 130. Two people exited the vehicle and pointed a firearm at law enforcement. Shots were exchanged, and one person was injured and taken to a hospital. The remaining occupants were contacted by deputies. The Eagle County Sheriff's Office has published the suspect's photo on its social media channels. If you see him, do not approach, but call 911. As a precaution, a shelter-in-place order has been issued for surrounding areas. I-70 remains closed at mile marker 140 in Gypsum and eastbound at mile marker 119 near the Glenwood Canyon rest area. Pickens County announced the resignation of Commissioner Kelly McNicholas Curry yesterday. She's served on the board for 7 years and is stepping down to accept the job of city manager for Montpelier, Vermont. McNicholas Curry said that she was looking for a job that better suited her family following her divorce.
Elected roles rely on voters. They have term limits, which is all appropriate and good, but it has made me realize that there's not long-term stability and I need to kind of figure out how to create that better in my life while also wanting to remain dedicated to public service.
McNicholas Curry was first elected in 2019, helped navigate the government through the COVID-19 pandemic, and advocated for affordable housing legislation, improved childcare offerings, and county-level climate action initiatives. She said she was most proud of her work on behalf of the voter-approved affordable housing tax that was passed last year. McNicholas Curry plans to continue serving as the executive director of the Roaring Fork Community Development Corporation remotely. The nonprofit has been managing Glenwood's 3-mile mobile home park while the residents prepare to purchase it themselves. 36% more people rode on Roaring Fork Transportation Authority buses in October and November compared to previous years. Bus fares were free during the 2-month period last fall. RAFTA was testing whether the discounted fares would increase ridership. The agency now reports that the free tickets encouraged more people to take the bus who had rarely or never ridden RAFTA buses before. That's according to a rider survey they distributed during the experiment. RAFTA staff wanted to see if it would be feasible to make bus fares free year-round. RAFTA CEO Kurt Ravenschlag says the results have encouraged staff to consider adjusting existing bus pass options.
We have the zone-based system, but we also don't offer a lot of various pass programs for low income or for anything beyond a season that somebody'd be looking to purchase a pass.
RAFTA currently offers 30-day zone passes and seasonal zone passes based on the rider's origin and destination. Skiers were finally treated to some good powder days in the Roaring Fork Valley last week, but as Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports, warmer nights make it harder to keep trails open when snow isn't falling.
The Earth releases solar energy at night after the sun goes down, and greenhouse gases are really good at trapping that heat in the atmosphere. Climate change can also increase cloud cover, amplifying that effect. That's a problem for ski resorts, says Adam McCurdy with the Aspen Center for Environmental Studies. Many of the nights this season have been too warm for Aspen Skiing Company to make snow.
I've lived here since 2008, and I have never seen the skiing company have to close lifts that they've reopened because they've opened for lack of snow.
A prolonged dry spell at the Snowmass ski area forced the company to close its Elk Camp chairlift for a few days shortly after its grand opening. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
In statewide news, Colorado's 2026 legislative session starts tomorrow. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Brady Woods reports lawmakers hope to tackle some of Colorado's most pressing issues, including the high cost of living, but ongoing budget issues could get in their way.
Balancing the budget will once again be a big challenge. Lawmakers have to fill a more than $800 million hole even after fixing two separate shortfalls last year. Meanwhile, the legislature's Democratic majority has a long list of priorities. Affordability is at the top, especially around healthcare and housing. Here's House Majority Leader Monica Duran.
We've always kind of focused on an economy that rewards hardworking people, you know, our working families. We know that, you know, they are just struggling and they want a chance to be able to thrive.
Democrats are also reviving some big ticket items from last year, including artificial intelligence regulations and a bill that would ease Colorado's unionization rules. and they hope to counter some of the federal policy changes made by the Trump administration.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. An auction for oil and gas leases in Colorado last week was a bust. The Bureau of Land Management offered up more than 20,000 acres of public land. But even at $10 an acre, it received zero bids from companies. Aaron Weiss works at the advocacy group, the Center for Western Priorities.
There are no oil and gas companies that think that it's profitable to lease them even at 10 bucks an acre.
The sale comes as the Trump administration tries to increase drilling on public lands. The BLM is planning to offer leases on more than 250,000 acres in Colorado over the next 6 months. The U.S. House of Representatives passed a clean extension of a tax credit to help people buying health insurance on the state marketplace. 17 Republicans, including Colorado Representative Jeff Hurd, voted for the bill. He says it sends a message to the Senate.
I thought it was important to signal to the Senate that I'm committed to extending the enhanced premium tax credits. Let's get a reform package in there, get it back to the House, and then let's vote on it.
The bipartisan support for the bill puts pressure on the Senate to try and find some compromise. The Senate has rejected a clean extension in the past. The credit expired at the end of the year, and more than 200,000 Coloradans are facing skyrocketing premiums. And in regional news, the state of Utah has entered into a 20-year co-management agreement with the U.S. Forest Service, allowing the state to provide funding, staff, and technical support on Forest Service projects. As Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis reports, environmental advocates worry this is an attempt to take control of federal public lands.
In a press conference on Thursday, Utah Governor Spencer Cox said this would not change federal ownership of national forests in Utah.
What it does is it changes our ability to actually get work done with our federal partners.
But environmental advocates say Utah has a track record of trying to take control of federal public lands. In 2024, Utah sued the federal government to force them to dispose of over 18 million acres of BLM land in the state. The Supreme Court declined to hear that case. In addition, Utah Senator Mike Lee proposed selling millions of acres of federal land as part of the One Big Beautiful Bill. Steve Block with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance says massive staffing and budget cuts make public lands even more vulnerable.
It's left these agencies crippled and vulnerable to the state of Utah, to other Western states coming in to say, we know you're having trouble managing these lands. Let us help. And by help, we mean manage and control them.
He expects Utah will pursue projects that prioritize timber harvest and extraction rather than conservation. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.